titled Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 225. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Once a week, I interview a well-known expert from the fields of personal development, education, career, and life planning, and other disciplines, who share experiences, tools, and insights to help our listeners along their journeys. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured expert, Slava Gorovoy. Welcome, Slava.
Thank you so much, Don. Really delighted to be here today.
Thank you. Slava Gorovoy is recognized as one of the most valued experts in business and leadership coaching in Asia and the Pacific. He draws his expertise from over 15 years of experience working with professionals and businesses across military, corporate, and small business sectors. He has helped hundreds of people to unlock their unlimited career, business, and life potential so they can experience the ultimate joy out of living. So, Slava, we've had a discussion over the last few days about the topic that we're going to talk about, and we landed on the topic that work-life balance is a myth. So you have a lot of experience. You've lived through the issues and problems of figuring out work-life balance and what it is. Sort of set the table for just a minute for our listeners about this issue that is at the forefront of all working people's minds.
Yeah, thank you so much, Don, for that beautiful introduction.
My pleasure.
So basically what brought me to exploring this topic into more depth was my cultural upbringing. I was born in the USSR, and education and work was the top priority for all the people in there. Mm-hmm. I remember on the stationery box, we had writing, study, study, and study. Like Grandpa Lenin said. Mm-hmm. So it was so deeply ingrained in every one of us that we didn't know even what rest means.
What drove that ethos? What was behind that real, just intense focus?
Well, I guess because if a person has time to reflect and really go deeper into the being, then, he might discover something that wouldn't be in line with the doctrine of the government.
Okay,
that's why it was very important to keep everybody busy. What I found is that, we have such a huge technological breakthrough. If, 50, 60 years ago, we had no machines. Everything was done by hand, pretty much. And people didn't have any work-life balance. And now we have machines that help us do the washing, cooking, cleaning, everything. And still there is no work-life balance. Mm-hmm. So I was really fascinated with this question. So what makes that work-life, how do you get that? After two migrations and turnover in different locations and jobs, it was eluding me. And I just stopped for a second and I asked myself, so is work-life balance is real or is it a myth? Mm-hmm. Because I reached a point in my life where I can use that word and say addicted to my career.
Sure.
So I was willing to sacrifice quality time with my family just to fulfill that need of, career and, the doing progress.
It's fascinating because I've always thought that even though I studied Russian and language and literature and so forth in college and actually spent a couple of weeks in Moscow 15 years ago, I didn't really have an understanding of the culture. And I thought only Americans were so utterly driven to go, go, go and succeed, succeed, succeed. But obviously, that's not true.
What we had on weekend, I think once a month, there was a day that you would go and collect all the papers and bring it for recycling. Mm-hmm. And another week, it would be collecting metal and bring it for recycling. So like the whole community, a lot of people working together mm-hmm. on a weekend. Mm-hmm. Really, there was not much, balance in this.
Yes. So you made a transition. You moved a couple of times and you ended up in Australia and you were in various corporate positions, right?
Yeah.
Were you always in development and leadership training and stuff, or did you have other roles?
Well, in Israel, I was in the army. Okay. So I was also in a leadership position. And I guess I've been always in leadership position because I was really, fascinating.
Yes. Yeah,
sure. Working with people and helping people and interacting with people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what drew me to it.
Okay.
And what I discovered is that that disbalance between work life created a lot of problems, both for me and for people around me. It really affected their family, their relationship, their health and well-being. I decided that that's the moment that that's going to be transformation for myself. Mm-hmm. And I left my corporate position and I started mastermind coaching business. And I've been helping my friends at the beginning to really get their life back on track, because they were also experiencing a lot of hardships and challenges in their family and in professional lives. And it's kind of snowballed. I just realized that more and more people drawn to this, because we live now in probably one of the best times in humanity. Mm-hmm. And if we don't utilize that time for getting that balance right now, when is it going to happen then?
Yes. Well, where do you start out when a client comes to you, when they find out about you and that you're an executive coach that has the experience you do and you can help them with all kinds of issues, and they come to you and say, my life is a wreck, my life is running me, I have no work-life balance? Or how do they frame the problem in their own words? What do they say?
So usually the biggest issue that people have is too much choice. Mm-hmm. And that's driving people crazy sometimes. Mm-hmm. In a good sense.
Yes.
And when people have too much choice, it creates overwhelm, because the mind tends to focus on everything at once. And it creates a feeling that there is no way I can catch up with everything. What I help people is to actually focus on what's important for them right now.
Okay.
So if it is a career, for example, if a person comes to me and saying, I have a business idea and I'm thinking about starting my business, but I have a job. I'm a sole provider, for example. Mm-hmm. So I ask the person to take a strategic approach and to really evaluate what is the purpose in holding that corporate or whatever position right now, and what is the purpose for that person to leave that corporate position and start in a business. Mm-hmm. And when a person can clearly, specifically articulate, first of all, to himself or herself, the purpose of that action, then it becomes clear. It takes the overwhelm down, and it actually shows the person the way of the focus and where they need to concentrate their efforts and actions.
I see that. Do you have them journal? You just have long conversations about it?
The first thing what I do, I actually have like 15 questions that I ask people to complete. It's called Design Your Ideal Life exercise.
Okay.
And the purpose of this exercise is to really expand the thinking, the imagination of the person about how they see their life. Because a lot of people, they think they know what they want, but when they actually start completing this exercise and thinking about how is my house going to look like? How is my career going to look like? What do I do in the morning? How do I spend my afternoons? So what I find is that a lot of people don't focus on those questions. And that's what creates the confusion. By actually getting clear on how do you structure your day, you create certainty. That's going to be your ritual. So no matter what happens, the outside events that come in, you always know that that's something in my life that is certain.
So what happens next?
So when the person is clear, we create a vision. So the first thing is to create the environment, which is consists from vision, mission, and the values. So after a person knows the vision, this is the purpose, this is the goal that person wants to achieve in life. Then we look at the mission. How is it going to actually be delivered? What are the actions that person needs to take in order to materialize that vision? And when we look at the values, this is the borderline. This is what the natural beliefs inside each person that we have that drives us forward, that keeps us on track. And when you have everything in congruency, in alignment, those three factors, vision, mission, and values, that gives the person amazing certainty in him or herself and clarity how to get to that ideal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. The next step is to look at the systems. So what are the systems that we need to create in our life in order to support that vision that we have created? So if, for example, a person wants to buy a new house somewhere in the Caribbean, ideally. So they need to think, okay, well, I have my vision, I'm clear on it, I know that that's what I want, that's how I see my life in 10, 15, whatever years time. So how do I get there? And that's what you need to look at the system. So have I got all the financial systems in place? Is my career the kind of career that will allow me to have that lifestyle? Is my family structure also in place and in congruency with my vision? So all those factors, they have to be in line with the vision.
Right.
The third step is to take action, because, you know, we can have great plans and really think about, you know, yes, I want this vision. I'm really into it. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And now it's time when the rubber hits the road. Mm-hmm. So to take the action. So if there is a necessity to change career, lifestyle, health, well-being, adjustments in family, it has to be done.
Exactly.
And the fourth step is evaluating feedback. So what is the feedback that the environment sends to us? Because if you set a vision in your life and you see that something is not working and adjustment has to be made, then that will be the feedback. And it's okay. Because a lot of times, you know, we think that, something not working, then it must be not the way. But the only certainty in this life that we have is that change is inevitable.
Yes.
And we have two options. Either we ride the wave, embrace the change, and basically enjoy what life got to offer, or we can resist it and it will persist. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of aligning those four factors. So environment, systems, implementation, and people, us, mm-hmm. in congruency, in alignment. And this is what I call four pillars of success.
Okay.
It can be in career, it can be in life. So when we align those four pillars, that what gives us the foundation for work-life choices.
Okay.
And the thing is that we are in the position to decide how much work we want to invest in order to achieve our true vision. And we can balance it.
I can only imagine the feedback you get from clients when you ask them to dig deep into these issues, which they only conceptually probably understand because they're so busy living their lives. But what kind of feedback do you get? Do people, I'm sure some embrace it, some resist it, some get angry, some get frustrated. What's all that like?
Basically, all humans, as humans, we have three universal fears, which is fear of not being loved, fear of not being enough, and fear of not belonging. Mm-hmm. Whatever people saying is just driven by those three factors. Mm-hmm. All the rest is just circumstances. Mm-hmm. And what I do, I just show people the pattern so they can identify their limiting beliefs. people get to that point. A lot of people that I work with, you know, they are business owners, they are successful people in their careers and in other areas in their life. A lot of people are successful. I ask them, so how did you get to that point? If you're saying that, you know, this can't work, or I don't know if I can do it, what driven you to that point? How you become successful up until now? And then people start looking inside and discovering those qualities, enhancing the qualities that make them successful. Mm-hmm. My responsibility towards people is coming from service and helping people to expand their confidence, their choices, their abilities, because we all have it. I see it, you know, in people. And I just help people to see it in themselves. Mm-hmm. So I don't invent anything. I don't, you know, give them magic.
Right.
The people are the magic.
Yes, exactly.
All I do, I help people to see their greatest potential, to identify their greatest desires, you know, inner passion. Mm-hmm. I help them to build the foundation for success by explaining them about those four factors. Mm-hmm. Because what I found that some people focusing more on the implementation side of things.
Yes.
That's their strengths. Some people are focusing more on systems. That's their strengths. Some people are very good creating vision, mission, and values. That's their strength. You know, some people are really good at identifying feedback. What I do is actually help them to tie this everything together and make it one system.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Gallup just came out with a protocol, speaking of people only being able to do a certain number of things, that, and they researched and found that as far as entrepreneurship, there are 10 factors that they've discovered after hundreds of thousands of interviews and so forth. And so they help entrepreneurs, in this case, who want to be entrepreneurs, see where their shortfalls are. And what you do with people at these transitions is a similar thing. You've got your factors and you help them, because nobody's good at everything. You know, Michael Jordan couldn't hit a curveball, so he went back and won 3 more NBA championships.
Yeah.
You know, but he tried to play baseball. He just wasn't very good at it. So,
yeah.
so you're bringing out the Michael Jordan, the real true, talented being in each of these people. I think this is, this couldn't be more vital. Well, interesting. I agree wholeheartedly with how you're doing this. I think it's really, really smart. Which of the factors are, where do you see people typically coming up short, or is there a typical, or is it just all over the board as far as who's good at, who's good at seeing the big picture, who's good at systems, who's good at taking action? Is it just kind of random, or is there a trend or a pattern to it in your experience of 15 years?
Well, what I found is that the action side of things is the least of a problem.
The what now?
Because they're just what naturally we get with our upbringing.
Okay.
You know, just doing and focusing on the action.
Okay.
What is the least of the focus, what I noticed, is the being part.
Yes.
Because it starts from when we're growing up, you know, like, for example, nobody asked me when I was growing up, what do I want to be? Mm-hmm. You know, what is my vision? My parents said, well, my dad was a musician. Yeah, so you have to go to musical school as well, even though I didn't like it. You know, allowing children to explore, you know, and people to explore what is their true passion.
Right.
Openly, freely, I think that's the biggest impact that we can have.
Yes. It's hard, though. Your dad loved you, and he liked music, and he figured you had it in you, and he just was trying to help you, but, you know, he missed the point. And you know what my dad wanted me to be? A dentist. Which is a great profession. Hello. I don't have a scientific bone in my body, but he just thought that'd be the, you know, way to make a good living, so...
Yeah,
I ended up being an entrepreneur, and so did you. So yeah, you're right. I think letting people find their beingness, you know, it takes a lot of quiet time and a lot of reflection time that our society today doesn't allow for very much, does it? It doesn't allow for that reflection time or that quiet time. The answers are always in there. The vision's in there. It was almost born into us. How do you help get it out?
I really like help people just to spend time on their own.
Good.
And really reflect. You know, just to take the time for themselves. Because I tell you, you've been on the plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that drill that stewardess does with the oxygen mask?
Yes.
A lot of people, they come to me and they say, look, how can I rest when my family needs me and the whole world needs me? And I give them that story about that stewardess that shows the oxygen mask. Because when there is a case of emergency, the drill says that you have to put the mask first on yourself and then you help the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you faint, how are you going to help another person?
Right.
So that's what I say to people. Okay, well, you have purest intention. But looking at you at this stage, you're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You need your time to replenish, to really re-energize yourself, you know, just to reconnect to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you balance, then you can actually go and help other people to do the same thing. But you can't give what you don't have.
Yes, exactly.
And it's really, you know, powerful realization for a lot of people. Because a lot of people, they have a good heart, they have good intention, they want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, the help starts with you.
Wow. Well, this is very powerful principles and so needed. I'll bet that a lot of people that find you had no idea that there were people like you that really helped them work through these thorny issues, right? Weren't they kind of surprised?
What I found is that a lot of times people mask painful issues by immersing themselves in doing.
Right.
And when we start the process of working, I actually help people to really go deep and discover what is driving them, what is driving that behavior. Why can't they just stop and reflect? Because a lot of people are struggling with just, you know, being, just
yes.
sitting and listening to music.
Yes.
I had people that I met that couldn't do it because the mind would switch on and would just wouldn't let them rest.
Yes, exactly. So do you talk about meditation with them?
Meditation and also what I do in the process, we also apply NLP techniques, so neuro-linguistic programming techniques.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Which allow people to really go deep into the time of their life where this limiting belief has been formed. People actually can identify when it was formed, and they can release it and let it go and integrate this into their being.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually works with them and not against them.
You know, Slava, what's interesting, you made a great point earlier about we live in a time when so many things are done for us by machines. And that's actually, I read a Forbes article the other day, and the technology's capacity to do even more things is growing at a rate that we can barely comprehend. It's being so efficient. But here's the irony. The irony is, in spite of that, you read about what's going on, I'm sure you've read it, about it, at Amazon, great company, and they're just trying to be efficient and give us our books and products as fast as they can. But they've set up this culture that is crushing. They're just people that are processing orders, but the culture is crushing. Or if you go into an Apple store, I've been an Apple user for forever, and I love the product. But in the Apple store, it's an algorithm. The very fine young men and women that are in there to help you, they can only focus on this specific thing that the Apple has to do with the Apple computer. If anything is out of that protocol, they're rather rigid about it, actually. You know what I'm saying? How can people be reflective when you're in a culture that doesn't honor a pregnant woman and wants her to work as many hours as everybody else and she's in her 8 month of pregnancy? How can you be reflective? You know, it's very, very difficult. Well, that's where you come in.
Yeah, and, you know, I shop in Woolworths. We have a supermarket. Basically, what I notice is that it's self-service checkout. and less people even help you with basic service, checking your products.
Yes.
It's all machines now. And that's what I wonder. That's the irony, that on one hand, machines are helping more and more, you know, to give us that time to interact with each other. And yet there is the opposite happening.
What do you think is the reason for that?
Look, I think that people naturally want to connect, that we are social creatures, and that's been from the ancient times and it will be. I feel that there are a lot of rules and regulations, expectations that people place on themselves. It really hinders our ability to open up and to really embrace each other, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think, if what I share, is it important? Are my thoughts, you know, relevant to the conversation? And sometimes people don't share.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I've been seeing a trend on this for the last decade, and it's a good trend. But in our society overall, as you've been saying, the premium is on doing and achieving and being a highly efficient person, like we just talked about with Amazon and others. But the premium in so many ways is not on the beingness or the reflection time or the quiet time. And if you're not steeped in that, or you haven't studied it or been exposed to various kinds of modalities like yoga and meditation and these others, in fact, a fair number of the population looks on that as some kind of weirdo Eastern thing. But I see a growing trend, a very amazing trend, who do see that if we don't get quiet and we don't listen to ourselves and reflect, we can't be our best selves, and therefore we can't be in the best relationships for family, friends, and organizations. We simply can't be. But nowadays, I just read the other day that the premium in companies now is not necessarily on technology and engineering and mathematics. It's on empathy. It's on connection. Isn't that amazing? Even in the tech companies.
And I actually attended a business seminar, and there was a presenter. He owned a dairy manufacturing company. And what he implemented in his workplace was group meditation.
Oh, wow.
So at 10 a.m., the whole factory would stop work and go to a room and sit and meditate. Okay, wow. Even if you don't meditate, just sit quiet. He had tremendous results. Yes. Both in productivity and team cohesion, and it really helped him to be a successful businessman and to achieve great results.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it works. If you get centered with yourself, you can be connected with others. Well, Slava Gorovoy, what a great conversation here about the myth of work-life balance and how you can turn that myth into a reality with some basic practices and principles. I know listeners have greatly benefited from this. Thank you. How do those listeners get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me through my website, www.mastermindcoaching.com.au.
I'm sorry, you just said .au, right?
Yes.
.au for Australia.
I'm from Australia.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Good.
And I also have an ebook that I'd love to share with anyone who would be interested. It's called 8 Leadership Strategies to Achieve Your Wildly Important Goals.
Oh, excellent. So if they go to the website, they can sign up for that and get it for free, right?
Yes, they can sign up and can get it for free, yes.
Excellent. Well, listeners, you know that you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com and go to the podcast section and see the show notes from this very illuminating interview with Slava Gorovoy and find those links very quickly. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, for joining us. You've heard me say many times that we have an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. The principles that Slava has talked about today are explicit or implicit in all those strategies. So please take a look at it. We've had great feedback. It's free. It might be a Kickstarter for you in your career at whatever age. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like interviews like this, then join us. We'd love for you to join our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today. Thank you.